today I'd also like to learn two little pieces from Rav Avram Shor. One comes from the Halekach V'Halibov Al HaTorah, from the year Tafshin Samach Gimel in Parshas Bahar. And one comes from the Halekach V'Halibov, these little small volumes that they put out, on Lag V'Omer. But two Torahs from Rav Shor, again connecting us to the world of Rabbi Akiva and to the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which again is all one world, it's all one Beis Medrash. Rabbi Akiva was the Rabbi of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay. So he begins the piece by quoting the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis, which of course is the famous and tragic story of the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 students, right, 12,000 pairs, until the world was desolate, and Rabbi Akiva decided to move forward with his career, and he found five new Talmidim, and he taught them Torah, and he restored the world. But because of the loss of those Talmidim, we have a period of Avelus. Now, what exactly are we mourning? So, as we come to the last day of Avelus, the last day of Sfira, in the sense of the mourning, as we look forward to Lag BaOmer removing that Avelus, we have to ask, what are we mourning? So we're mourning the death of human beings, for sure. We're mourning the lack of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro that they embodied, for sure. But Rav Shor explains that more than that, or in addition to that, Shamati Omer, I'm starting right over here. Shamati Omer b'shem Kadmonim. I've heard, and it's found already in early sources. Rav Aaron Cutler alludes to it as well in his Mishnas Rabbi Aaron. Ki ha'avelus hu al shichachas haTorah. If you remember, we spoke about how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "I will be the guarantor to make sure that Torah is not forgotten." But think about the death of those 24,000 students. That itself is a tremendous loss of Torah. It wasn't just that Rabbi Akiva's, yeshiva was wiped out, and themselves, their lives were lost. But think about how much went down with the ship, so to speak. Think about how much Torah 24,000 students embodied, and think about, he says, Shebe Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, neva da Torah shel Rabbi Akiva, shayore shal kol tag v'tag. If you remember, we learned, yes, we'll come back to it, the Gemara in Menachos, that Rabbi Akiva was the one who was expounding crown on every letter, right? The points on top of the Torah. Rabbi Akiva taught it to his Talmidim, and when they died, all of those shiurim, it wasn't recorded on YU Torah for posterity. When his Talmidim died, the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, in many ways, was lost. Now Rabbi Akiva himself obviously had that Torah, and he went on to transmit that Torah further. But there was such a loss. There was such a loss of Torah. How many Talmidei Chachamim from that Beis Medrash and the profound Torah that they knew, it was all lost. So let's try to understand. Ubepashis yesh lanu lahavin al pizeh, ki inyan avelus al Talmidei Rabbi Akiva hu amshacha mi avelus al chorban Beis Mikdashenu. If you think about it, in many respects, the chorban Beis HaMikdash was also a tremendous loss of Torah. In many ways, the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, that Beis Medrash, in some ways mirrors the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Ki miyom shachar Beis HaMikdash ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ela dalet amos shehalacha bilvad. The Gemara says from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, where does Hashem spend his time? In the Beis HaMedrash. Hashem sits in the dalet amos shehalacha. Hashem spends time in the Beis HaMedrash. But when the biggest Beis HaMedrash was destroyed, it's a continuation of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Right? So in many ways, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem relocated to, through time to Rabbi Akiva's Beis HaMedrash. But when Rabbi Akiva's Beis HaMedrash was destroyed, right, it that much furthered the feeling of loss that came with the Beis HaMikdash. So we lost, so to speak, another chelek of the Beis HaMikdash, which is very interesting. Again, I don't want to go into it now, but we know that Lag BaOmer in the Sfiros is Hod Shebahod. Hod Shebahod. The Gemara in Brachos says on the Pasuk, L'cha Hashem Agdula V'Gvura V'Tiferes V'Netzach V'Hod, the Gemara says Hod is Beis HaMikdash. So what is Hod Shebahod? No? Reb Jack, what would you say? If Hod is the Beis HaMikdash, the Hod Shebahod, which is Lag BaOmer, is Kodesh Kadashim. Right? Because Hod Shebahod is Kodesh Kadashim. Okay, so in a certain sense, Rishon Baruch Chai is trying to restore the Beis Hamikdash to its place. By the way, in the seven Ushpizen that we invite into our home on Sukkot, who corresponds to Hod? Right, which Torah personality is Hod? It's Aaron HaKohen. It's Aaron HaKohen, right? Who goes into Kodesh Kadashim? The Hod Shav Hod is Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is an Oiv Shalom Verodev Shalom. That also has a lot to do with the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So in a certain sense, the loss of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva was a hamshacha, was a continuation of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it was a tremendous loss of Torah. And now we understand that what? That Yom Lag Va'Omer hu hafsaka be'aveilus shel Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. The Lag Va'Omer celebration is a reversal of what? Of that loss of Mikdash and that loss of Torah. Which means that Lag Va'Omer is a big day of Torah, and it's a big day of Hashras HaShechina. It's a big day of Kedusha. It's a day of Beis HaMikdash, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming back into our lives. And he quotes that Gemara that we spent time learning about, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kof Lamed Ches, how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I will make sure that Torah is not forgotten. I will be the protector of Torah to make sure that it's not lost. Okay. Hamida Shal Yamam Elu Hu Midas Hod, says Rav Shor. Hod, again, is what we're thinking about during these days. Hod is the Mida of this week of Sfira. And Hod Shabahod is Lag Va'Omer. V'yesh Levar Man Nikra Midas Hod. We need to understand, what does Hod mean? What is Hod? What exactly is Hod? How would you translate Hod? Yehuda, what's your English word of choice for Hod?
No.
What's your English word of choice? I don't know. Go for it. Splendor, admit. Glory. What word do you like to use?
To admit.
To what?
Admit.
To admit. Interesting. Okay. So what is Hod, right? We're trying to metakin during this week the Midah of Hod. According to our level, what is it? Yeah, Jeremy, what is it?
Splendor.
Yeah, splendor. Splendor is a fairly common translation, right? Some type of splendor, some type of, right? The radiance of the Kohen Gadol, right? Ma'are Kohen, it's Aaron HaKohen, it's coming out of Kodesh Kadoshim, his face is shining, Zohar, right? Rashbi, glowing, light, illumination, something of splendor, something beautiful. But what does that mean? Halacha l'maisa, what does that have to do with us? So Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisisa that Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to karnei hod. That Moshe Rabbeinu had this awesome shine. That Moshe had this ability to be glowing. Again, much like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in that sense. Umevi Rashi divrei Chazal ki zocha leze be'eis mara hanavua shel yud gimel midos shel rachamim. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu attained that glow at the moment that he was given and shown the concept of Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Uvemar hanavua ksiv reisas acharai upanai lo yiro. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to see Hashem's back, but he wouldn't see his front. And Chazal explained that Moshe Rabbeinu, as he caught a glimpse of Hashem through the crack, through the opening between the rocks, Moshe Rabbeinu caught a glimpse of Hashem's back. Chazal explained that Moshe Rabbeinu kiviyachol saw the kesher shel tefillin. He saw the knot of Hashem's tefillin. Chaver, you know the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, we were tefillin and Hashem was tefillin. What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. Hashem loves us, we love Him. Okay. So because Moshe saw Hashem's tefillin knot, he was zocha to hod. Interesting. What does that mean? Nimtzas lemeidin ki hakesher shel tefillin, that knot of tefillin, ha'iskashrus shel morah da'almim kneses Yisrael. What does it mean Hashem wears tefillin? What's the idea of tefillin? What does the word even mean? It means to attach, to cling, to bind. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu caught a glimpse of Hashem's tefillin means what? He saw the knot, he saw the kesher specifically, the knot of Hashem's tefillin. He saw the bond that a Jew has with Hashem. That's called hod. That unbreakable bond that a Jew has with Hashem, the kesher shel tefillin, the bond, the knot, the tefillin is like a crown that every Jew wears. That bond, that connection, is called hod. Tefillin heim keser li'ish Yehudi. Tefillin's like a crown for a Jew. Hod is a yofi chitzoni. Hod represents a certain external beauty. She'eino me'atzmi es hadavar. Bechinas keser, just like a crown is not the person, the crown is outside of the person. So too tefillin, which a Jew places on his head, right, represents a certain external glow that a Jew has. It's a crown on his head. The Zera Kodesh, the Rapshitzer, writes in Parshas Bamidbar that the idea of hod is to take sheker and to make it into a kesher. Interesting. To take a certain falsehood and to transform it into a connection. What is sheker? Sheker is disconnect, right? If I tell you something that's not true, so that's there's a disconnect between reality and the way that I'm presenting it. A kesher forms connections. Sheker moves one farther away from reality. If truth is reality, and reality is truth, then sheker moves you farther away from being connected to reality. A kesher brings something together. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw the kesher shel tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe understood in that moment, and he was zochet to hod, he was zochet to a shine, he understood the unbreakable bond between Hashem and the Jewish people. Okay, so now let's go a step further. We learned yesterday, the Gemara in Menachos, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, he saw that Hashem was what? Was tying crowns to the letters. Interesting. And he said that yes, that these crowns are going to be expounded by a Jew in the future whose name is Akiva ben Yosef. So we need to understand, what are these crowns? Again, the Gemara calls them Ksarim. They're also called by the Gemara Koitzim, right? Points or thorns, as we explained yesterday. They're also called, in Sifrei Chassidus v'Kabbalah, Tagin. A Tag also means a crown. Okay? The Tagin. Often we refer to the points on top of the letters as the Tagin. If you ever see that word in the Sefer. Right? We talk about the Osios. We talk about the Nekudos. We talk about the Ta'amin. That's another way to say trup. And then we talk about the Tagin. We talk about the crowns on top of the letters. The points on top of the letters. So now, you know that there's a concept that Jews are letters, right? Every one of us has a letter in Torah. So just like the letters have crowns, so too a Jew has a crown. Maybe that's part of the idea of wearing tefillin. What an amazing idea. That when you wear tefillin, that's like the crown, that's like the point, that's like the coats, the keser, on top of what? On top of the letter. So if a Jew is a letter, ki kol ish Yisrael hu os ba-Torah, if every Jew is a letter, like we know from the Megala Amukos and the Zohar Chadash, that our name Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and every single Jew, so to speak, represents one of those letters. Every Jew is, so to speak, a letter. And just like the letters have tagin, so too, every Jew has a tag. In fact, we have two tagin. We have two crowning things that we wear, namely tefillin shel yad, a protrusion of my body, and tefillin shel rosh, a protrusion of my head. Right? Representing the fact that what? Ki dalet parsha, v'hainu tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. And he says further, he says, ki bedalet parsha shel tefillin, yesh tag tevos, v'chol echad yesh bo, beiz tagin elum. Because in the tefillin, there are actually, it's amazing. You know how many words are in your tefillin? It's a good number to know. I've been doing a lot of numbers recently. How many words are there in the tefillin? In the Dalet Parshos Shel Tefillin? There's 403. There are 403 words. Right? 403 is tag, because that's what tefillin are. Tefillin are a tag. Tefillin are a crown. Tag means a crown. So there are 403 words in your tefillin, because your tefillin are a tag. So therefore, every Jew, so to speak, has what? Has these two tagin. The same way that at Har Sinai, when Hashem gave the Torah, it says that the angels place crowns on the Jews, two crowns, a crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. So too, every Jew, in a sense, still wears two crowns on a daily basis. The crown of Tefillin Shel Yad, which has 403 letters, 403 words on the Dalet Parshios of the Tefillin, and the Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is also 403 words. 403 is tag. Okay? So now, let's think about this. Rabbi Akiva is the one who's going to Darshan to explain the crowns, the kotzim, the tagin, on top of each of the letters. What does that mean? Explains Rav Shor such a beautiful idea. V'hu inyan Rabbi Akiva shayadorish kol tag v'tag. What does it mean Rabbi Akiva expounded the crowns, the points on top of the letters? Hainu Rabbi Akiva sha'alav amru chazal shu machapes zuchusan shokol Yisrael. The Rabbi Akiva that the Gemara says was always trying to be malamed zuchus on a Jew. So what does it mean that he was dorish the tag, the crown? Again, the kesher shel tefillin that Moshe Rabbeinu saw and entered into the world of Hod. So explains, for sure, Rabbi Akiva, who wanted to see the goodness in Jews, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai also, when he came out of the cave the second time. Vidorish hatag shel kol Yehudi v'Yehudi, to try to see how every Jew wears a crown. Haynu ha'pnimius shel kol ish Yisrael. What is a crown? Chaver, who wears a crown? Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says that a king wears a crown. So how could every Jew wear a crown? Rabbi Nachman has the same question. How could every Jew wear a crown? A crown means that you're the king. And the answer is yes. Every Jew is a melech. Every Jew is a ben melech. Yes, every single one of us is the greatest in a certain way. So Rabbi Akiva wanted to see that. Rabbi Akiva wanted to explain the crown, right? What is the crown of Shai Rosalimsky? What is the crown of Joseph Kahn? What is the crown of David Lifshitz? What makes you the greatest Jew? I'm the greatest Jew. Yeah, in a certain area, yes, you are the greatest Jew. So Hashem crowned each Jew. And Rabbi Akiva was the one who helped the Jew to what? To darshan his crown. To understand the crown that he wore. Kavach ha-neshama ha-gonuz b'chol Yish Yisrael. How every Jew has a neshama, which is a piece of Hashem, a chelak alokam imal, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And even if we stumble sometimes, but afal pichein, Rabbi Akiva was the one who wanted to see the good within every Jew, to understand the neshama of a Jew, not just the body of a Jew, but to understand, our body, so to speak, is the letter. Right? Every one of us is a letter in the Torah. So our body is the letter. Our neshama, in a certain sense, is the crown on top. That's why I told you the other day that Rabbi Akiva is gematria neshama. Because Rabbi Akiva is the one who helps us to what? To identify our inner mission, our inner essence, and the kashro la'aviv shava shamayim. And to help to connect us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. The kesher shel tefillin. To take away the sheker of our life and to realize who are we be'emes? Who is the real me? And the only way that a person does that is by having a deep perspective. That's Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Okay? All right, let's hear some comments, because I see we have a lot of, Baruch Hashem, a lot of participation here. Okay, Jeremy, and then David, and then Joseph. Let's hear.
Rabbi, I heard actually last night that that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to learn from Rabbi Akiva about the crown, something like that, and then Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, like, I don't understand this Torah. This person is worthy of bringing the Torah, of bringing the Luchot down, and then Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, but I made it this way.
Right. Yeah, we spoke about it. That was part of the end of that Gemara that we spoke about yesterday, right? That's right. That Rabbi Akiva was the one who Moshe Rabbeinu felt was even greater than himself. So in a sense, if Moshe Rabbeinu has Hod, right? So then Rabbi Akiva, who didn't just, you know, have one crown, but was able to darshan kol coats of coats, right? Crown each and every crown. It's almost like Hod Shav Hod, a crown of a crown. Yeah, there's a lot there. Okay, David, Leah, let's hear.
Is it true that every letter in the Torah has a crown?
Nope. It is not true. We're going to talk about which letters have crowns in a minute.
So, okay. Right, because then how does that work with what we were just saying? That like if we're saying that the guth is the letter...
It's a great question. Well, that's why some letters have multiple crowns, I guess. Right? Some letters have three crowns, have three points on top. So it could be that, maybe a Jew has to share his crown with someone else. But it's a good question. That's a good question. There aren't also 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's 304, 805. So Okay, but these are not unsolvable questions, but I'm happy you asked it, and we're going to get into that in a minute. We're going to talk about which letters have crowns and actually what the meaning behind that is in a very deep way. Okay, we're about to get to that. Yeah, Reb Joseph, let's hear.
So
Yosef Zohar, how can I not call you Yosef? On all days, how can I not call you Yosef Zohar? Yeah.
So if we go with the idea that men have crowns, like kings, then it should follow that women would have crowns as well as queens.
Presumably.
So if that's the case, then why don't they have some sort of maybe a little bit smaller queenly tefillin?
That's a great question. You're saying in terms of our tefillin comparison.
Yeah, just physically.
So speaking. so some say that actually the 600,000 letters of the Torah that we're talking about correspond to the, you know, the 600,000 males that the Torah refers to. So what does that mean? Does a woman not have a letter in the Torah? So some actually explain that the women actually come from the white of the Torah. Right? We know that the Torah was given black fire on white fire, which is expressed in our Sefer Torah by black letters on white parchment. In many ways, the white of the Torah is in fact deeper than the black of the Torah. The black is, right? Black is more limited. The white is more undefined, right? So in a certain sense, the women represent kind of that deeper dimension of the white of the Torah, which doesn't have the crowns, right? But you're right. Bipnimius, there's no question the women also have the crowns. But I guess again, if the men are the letters and the letters of the Torah have you know identifiable crowns, physical crowns that can be seen, so men have to wear a tefillin that you know can actually be seen.
Also, I mean, on that, just Kabbalistically, one might think that, you know, you have the men would have the, if the men have the elements of Chochmah and women have the elements of Bina, then Chochmah would be more of the white paper idea, and the women would have the Bina, which is more the letters themselves being more formulated.
Right. One could suggest such a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So are we to say that maybe there's an element of each and the other or for sure.
Chachmah and Bina are always interwoven. Right? Chachmah and Bina are the best of friends that never part ways. They're always working in sync.
Is it also possible to say that maybe because this is the Torah of our world, so it's backwards to the Torah of Shemayim?
Oh. Could be.
Oh.
You know,
like an upside down tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. You could say such a thing. Okay, but good points. Good ha'aretz. Yeah, Yehuda, let's hear.
On David's point about not every letter having a tag, when I said that hod is to admit, what I meant was that it's to admit that you can't do it on your own. Where like Netzach is like you're so victorious, but then hod hand in hand is saying like, but I couldn't do it on my own.
Right.
So what Rabbi was saying about sharing your crown fits very well with Hod.
Right.
With Yosef's question, Yosef Zohar, I think that I also had that same question you just asked, but I'm thinking that like women being both like obviously more defined, but also they're the womb in which like something can further develop.
Right.
So the letters being like the male are inside the white parchment, which is like the womb where something further can come forth. And then also just neshama is misbarkat. It's just adding to the list.
Right. But yeah, there's no question that limited black represents the male's limited role in formation or creation of a child. And the woman is sort of the sea of white, right? In which the child is developed, right? It's less defined. It's made up of many more dimensions. Very good, Chevra. Okay? Excellent. Okay, so let's come back to Rabbi Akiva now. So Rabbi Akiva is the one who's darshaning these crowns. Okay, Rabbi Akiva is the one who's helping a Jew to identify that he is, in fact, a king, and that she is, in fact, a queen, right? Albeit without tefillin on her head. Okay? And to attach us, l'kasher, because that's the idea, the kasher shel tefillin, which is hod, to attach us to Avinu Shva Shemayim. Okay. Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds that Kol Yisrael Nikraam Banam Lamakum. Rabbi Akiva, like his Talmud Rabbi Meir, who said it even more clearly, is of the school of thought that every Jew is considered a ben melech, right? We're considered Hashem's children. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is the one who, of course, famously says, and that's part of the reason we sing this song in Lag BaOmer, Ashreichem Yisrael, Mishnat Yandayoma, Mi Matar Eschem, Avichem Shabbat Shamayim. Right? It doesn't say that Hashem as your melech is matariu. Hashem as your father is matariu. That it means to say, Hu mechapes hanakuda shel ben sheyesh b'chol Yehudi. That Hashem made each of us one of his children, and a child is a reflection of the parent, obviously, in some measure. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is the one who helps us to realize you are a child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a ben is a chelek haneshama sheyesh b'chol echad, right? That chelek of neshama inside of us is really our part of ourself that comes from Hashem. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is the one who darshens the crowns to help a Jew to realize this and to understand that. Okay, so now let's get into which letters actually have crowns, and what is perhaps the message in those letters. So it is known, the Gemara Menachos Yadua Menachos Chavtesam Ad Beis Ki Osios Shetzrichim Tagin Him Osios Shatnis Gates or Shatnis Gats. Okay, that's how you remember it. Shatnis Gates. Well, what does that mean? And Shatnis is an easy word to remember. Okay, Shatnis, we know what Shatnis is. Gates, it means like a spark. Okay, what does that mean? So says Rav Shor, I want to learn it like this. The letters with crowns, he says, are Satan, Oz, Gates. Okay, what does that mean? The Hainu Shiyesh Ke'elu Shiyesh Lam Satan Oz Ma'od. Sometimes the Satan is a certain brazenness, right? Oz. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, be Oz Kanamer. You should be brazen and bold like a leopard. The Satan is so brazen. Right? The Satan is so brazen in the way that the Satan suggests things which are so obviously bad for us, and yet we still fall into his trap. The Satan is operating against the creator of the world. It takes a certain brazenness to do that. So the Satan is a Satan Oz. A Satan has a certain Azus that he represents. O Yoser Na Lidrosh Alzmanenu, maybe you could say with regard to our time in particular, Sheish Zmanim Koshim Sheish Azus Godola Satan, Kayo Masher Azus Satan Hu B'Toikvo. Right? Nowadays, again, we see a certain brazenness, the way that the Satan has infiltrated our lives in ways that were never possible. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes, he says that before Mashiach comes, it used to be that the Satan didn't have so much access to the Jewish home. It used to be that if a Jew stepped outside of his house, right, the world was there to drag him down. Right? But that before Mashiach comes, the Satan is going to find new ways to infiltrate our home. And that's certainly, that's certainly true in our times. There's no place in the world that a Jew could say, I'm totally freed from the Yetzer Hara. There's no place that I'm truly safe. So the Satan has an unbelievable Azus. And again, the way the Rav Moshe Wolfson explains it is that when a person is on death row, right, a person is about to be executed, sometimes they grant a final request. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that when Mashiach comes, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is going to be shechted. He's going to be killed. So the Yetzer Hara is about to get killed, which is why he's given permission, to kind of have his last hurrah, which is why the Yetzer Hara is so out of control these days. But that's a good sign. That means he's on his way out. That means he's on his last breath. And it's very hard. When the Satan is so Oz, when the Satan is so brazen and so in your face, right? And so it's so pervasive in our life, it's very hard to fight. It's hard to rise above that. But the other letters that have the crowns are the Gimel and the Tzadi. Aval yesh gates echad yotze mitachas hapatish. But there's a gates. A gates means a spark. The gates means a flash. There's a gates. There's one spark that emerges from beneath what? The anvil. When a person is, working, the blacksmith is working, and a spark flies forth. Like Rashi brings the mashal in Parshas Vayeshev of a person who's working, right? Who's working with iron, right? And they, there's sparks flying, and there's a pishtani, a person who's carrying flax, right? And the person who's carrying flax represents sort of this huge army of the Sitra Achra. But all it takes is one spark to burn him to a crisp. That's what the Medrash says, is the Yosef versus Esav, that Yosef is the spark, right? A lot of Chanukah Torah, obviously, on this Rashi and Parshas Vayeshev. Ki geitz echad yotzei v'soref es kulo. Because one little spark, and that of course represents the neshama of a Jew, has the ability to burn up all the Sitra Achra. We sometimes feel so weak in the face of the Yetzirah. Right? The Yetzirah is a Satan Oz, he's so brazen. But if you understand the spark that you have inside of yourself, you have everything that you need. It's that fire inside of a Jew. And again, that's part of the bonfires of Lag BaOmer. We want to bring out that spark. We want that spark to find expression in the world. It shouldn't be stuck inside of you, but the spark should be able to emerge. It's like a hot coal that's burning within. And that is, of course, the neshama, which is the chelek eloka mimal. Svasembe says that the word gacheles, which means a fiery coal, and again, sometimes the hot coal, you can't even see it from the outside. When you blow on the coal, you can see what it flares up. It's red hot on the inside. Sometimes on the outside, it looks, you know, it just looks ashen. So Hasemba says that gacheles is gematria emes. Because again, there's a fire, there's a truth burning inside of each and every one of us that just needs to be what? Just needs to be blown upon, right? Kind of like that hot coal. When you blow on it, it flares up. So we just need to find a way to what? To get that coal to flare up, to allow that ash to emerge. Hamora al nekudas ha'emes sheish b'chol echad. Rabbi Akiva hayadorish tag in elo. So Rabbi Akiva was the one, again, who darshaned, who explained these crowns. Lidrosh nekuda pnimis sheish b'chol Yehudi. To help a Jew to realize, you're wearing a crown because you're a melech. Lehevi li de'givle ha'geitz echad. To be able to bring out that nekuda that every Jew has inside of himself. Right? That's what's alluded to, perhaps, again, in the crowning letters of Satan, Oz, Gates. The battle of the biggest Yetzihara versus that tiny little spark. But again, if we understand that spark well, and Rabbi Kiva helps us to darshan that spark, so then we understand that it's totally possible. One more paragraph, and then I want to show you just one other little idea from Rav Shor. B'misas talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So when Rabbi Akiva's talmidim died, the Torah of Rabbi Akiva was lost. In other words, Rabbi Akiva expounded the crowns. A lot of that Torah was lost, and that's why the world was shameim. The world was desolate because people didn't realize who they were anymore. Hatagin hu akesher shel Yehudi imboro. That tag, that crown, we said again, is the tefillin, but it's the kesher shel tefillin. It's the bond that we have with Hashem. The kesher of a father to a son that can never be severed. Kesher zeh chas v'shalom yizbatel. So there was a fear that when Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died, there was a weakening of the kesher. Until comes along Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Lag BaOmer, Hilula Derashvi. Rabbi Akiva transmitted that Torah to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai works to continue to solidify that kesher that a Jew has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's turn to this other piece of Torah from Rav Shor in the little Lekach V'Libov Lag BaOmer volume. And we'll just explain one simple yesod, because I cannot go into Lag BaOmer. I would be a very bad Rebbe if I didn't remind you of this very mysterious teaching of Rav Aaron of Karlin. Rav Aaron of Karlin said in the Sefer Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin said, and if you don't understand it properly, it sounds mamish like kfira. But of course, we understand it properly. We try. That Rashbi is lakol. Rashbi is for everyone. Afilu lepechusim. Even for lowly Jews. The actual quote in the Beis Aaron is just like Hashem is for everyone, so too Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is for everyone. Afilu lepechusim. Even for low lives. Even for low Jews. Even for really low Jews. Okay? The Hod Shebahod. Hod Shebahod, by the way, represents a certain lowliness. Do you understand why? Let me show you why. Why is Hod Shebahod kind of the lowest of the low? It's another way to translate Hod Shebahod. If you look at the Sfiros, right, so you have Keser on top, you have Chachma on the right, you have Bina on the left, you have Das in the middle, you have Chesed on the right, Gvura on the left, Tiferes in the middle, You have Netzach on the right. You have Hod on the left. And then you have Yesod in the middle. And under Yesod is Malchus. The left side, we know, is the side of Midas Adin. The left side, so to speak, is the bad side. Hod is the lowest point on the left side. So Hod Shebahod is the lowest of the lowest, right? It's mamish the lowest of the lowest. And yet at the same time, I told you, Hod Shebahod is also Kodesh Kadashim. If Hod is Beis HaMikdash, then Hod Shebahod is the Kodesh Kadashim. So Yishim Bar Yochai is the one who's sometimes the biggest tzaddik. He just doesn't know how to bring out that fire inside of himself, that gates, that spark, that coal. He's swamped by the Satan Oz, by the Satan who's so brazen. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches us that every single one of us is connected to Hashem, and that's what Rav Aaron of Karlin means when he says, Rashbi is lakol, afilu lepchusim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for everyone. And you see it. The proof is in the fact that everyone goes to Meiron regardless of the religious observance. You have all types of Jews. Every type of Jew is drawn to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But we need to understand in what way is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai for everyone. Says Rav Shor, I would say the opposite. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is absolutely not for everyone. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents what? Sodos HaTorah, secrets of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for people who learn Kabbalah. How is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai at all for us? Umayish lanu l'Torah hasod shebetorah. What do we have to do with the sodos HaTorah? Sherechokim anu k'metachve keshas mechelek hazeh b'Torah. Right? We're like an arrow's shot away. Obviously, a little bit of a play on the words because we use bow and arrow on Lag BaOmer. So what do you mean? We're distant from Sod. What do we have to do with Sod? So Rav Shor says, I'll tell you a simple thing. V'ula yesh l'ramiz b'zeh nekuda. I'll say just one simple point, and that is that just like the Torah is a pardes pshat remez drush and Sod. Hine kol Yehudi yeshlo chelek b'Torah. Every Jew has a portion in the Torah, like we mentioned. Yisrael is yesh shishim ribo osios l'Torah. So you know what that means? Hare lechol Yehudi chelek b'Torah os b'Torah. Every Jew has a portion, a letter in the Torah. V'sein chalkenu b'sora secha. Hashem, help me to find my chelek in Torah. V'hine lefamim ha'ad makalkel ma'isov va'os shalo eno meyer. Sometimes a person damages himself with his bad behaviors and his letter is not so shiny anymore. Va'ad kedei kach sheba'olam ha'pshat ha'os shalo nira mufrach. Sometimes on a pshat level, it looks like this Jew has lost his letter. He's lost his connection to Torah. I know a Yid, he should live and be well. He's a Machal Shabbos. He has a non-Jewish girlfriend. He doesn't eat kosher. B'derech HaPshat, is he a letter in Torah? Not B'derech HaPshat. However, B'derech HaSod, the secret, that spark that we were describing a moment ago, that gates, that little fiery coal of MS, that deep truth that is always alive inside of a Jew, that's still there. On a Pshat level, he's not a Yid. On a Remez level, on a Drush level, he's not a Yid. Aval ba'olam HaSod, yesh lo shelo makom. But on the level of Sod, that Jew is still a Jew. That Jew could literally claim he converted to Christianity. We would still say he's a Jew. God forbid. Umeyur b'chol ha'olamos. So that's what Rabbi Shimon has to do with every... Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who reveals the secret of every letter, is saying to a Jew, if you think that you're not a Jew b'derech ha'pshat, if you're not a Jew in b'derech drush or remez, if you're not a Jew on the outer, more, you know, the more exterior dimensions or levels of Torah, I'm going to show you that you're still a Jew. Besod, ki zehu sod Hashem li'reav u'briso lahodien, sheyes os bris l'chol Yehudi v'Yehudi, because every Jew carries that secret. By the way, the guy I was just describing was Machal Shabbos, who eats treif and lives with his non-Jewish girlfriend. He has a bris milah. He has a bris. Right? We refer to the bris milah as the os bris, because your bris is your os and your os is your bris. V'lachein nikra os bris. Just like you can't erase your bris milah, you can act as gayish as you want. You can't erase your bris milah. You can't erase your letter from the Torah completely. Every Jew has inside of him a nekuda of Mashiach, a spark that's called an Or Mufla. Or Mufla is actually Gematria Mashiach. We call Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai an Or Mufla. right? The way that it's spelled without the vav, or mufla is gematria Mashiach. Uvizgalas chelak hasod shebetorah bilula derashbi. Nizgal gam hasod sheish b'chol Yehudi v'Yehudi. In Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did for each and every one of us by revealing secrets of letters of Torah, and Rabbi Akiva darshaning the crowns on top of the Torah, he was giving us chizik that we don't even realize. He was saying, your letter is also a secret. So if you've lost your way a little bit on the surface, you should know that I still believe in you. And that's what the Beis Aharon means, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for everyone, even for the lowly Jews. That through Rabbi Shimon, through Rabbi Akiva, the secret is revealed. Shafil lepchusim yesh tikva. That even hod shebahod, the lowest side, on the left-hand side, kiganuz besocham sod tama, there's a secret hiding within. Okay, so Chaver, this is the chizuk we have to get from Lag BaOmer. To know ourselves better, to darshan our crowns, to find that chelek of sod inside of ourselves, right? To believe that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva were celebrating, they're rooting for us. Even if you're dead, even if we've been celebrating, we've been commemorating 32 days of dying, right? That's a long streak of death. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes and says, no, even the dead can come back to life, right? Even the dead can come back to life. That's why Shimon ben Yochai is gematria machaye mesim. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is this koach of tchias mesim. He's the one who's vina hafachu. All the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva dying, day after day. Who's going to break the pattern? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai breaks the pattern. So on his yard site, on Lag BaOmer, his day of death is a celebration, because even death is not a death. Because even death, there's tchias mesim. That's how deep Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva go. To dig out that gate, that spark, that little flame inside of oneself. Okay? Fine. Something else I was going to say, but I have to know when to stop also. Okay, good. So we'll stop here, Chevra, but I want to bless everyone that you should really be tapped into Lag BaOmer. Find somewhere to go, please, I beg you. If you have nowhere to go, come hang out with me tonight. We'll be having some good stuff in Bergenfield. You know, a couple of different things going on starting at 8:30. Everyone's invited. You can come for Brang with us. Mirtzashem, the weather will hold up. We'll have a nice Madura, some good food. My brother's playing some music. I'll share some Torah. It'll be Gavaldik. So everyone, if you want to come join me, please, you're more than welcome and encouraged to come. If you want, you know, there's other options also. You can go to New Square. You can run around Bar Park. I know there's lots of places to go, but try to, I know it's busy. I understand that it's, you know, final season and everyone's stressed out and et cetera, et cetera. But don't miss out on, we need Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva to carry us. So don't miss out on that experience.